and Iran condemns latest deadly Israeli airstrikes on Syria's northwestern province of Aleppo. It's nearly 6 months now into Israel's genocidal onslaught on Gaza, and regime warplanes and artillery continue pounding the besieged strip, causing more death and destruction. According to the health ministry in Gaza, 71 people lost their lives and over 100 were injured in attacks since Thursday. In the latest attack, regime jets bombed the premises of a sports club in Gaza City, leaving 7 Palestinians dead. Eyewitnesses said some 30 people were killed in another strike targeting an industrial zone in the same area. Elsewhere in Gaza, at least 12 Palestinians were killed in a bombing of a home in the southern city of Rafah. And 8 people were also killed after a house was struck by a missile in the Al-Maghazi refugee camp in the central Gaza. Now, war on Gaza started back in early October and has so far left over 32,600 Palestinians dead, most of them women and children. Meanwhile, the Palestinian Central Bureau of Statistics said in a report 70% of the homes in Gaza are now uninhabitable. Earlier, we spoke to our correspondent Muti Abu Musab in central Gaza city of Deir al-Balah. Israel continues targeting Rafah despite knowing very well the city is currently housing nearly 1.5 million displaced Palestinians.
Let's begin with Rafah City, as the Israeli warplanes carried out several rural airstrikes against a residential building located in Al-Nasr neighborhood, which is located in the northern part of Rafah City. In the meantime, the Israeli artillery maintained shelling the eastern part of the city of Rafah City with more intense shelling that reached the residential buildings there, knowing that Rafah is still accepting roughly 1.4 million Palestinian evacuees who are still taking shelter in that area amid the continuous airstrikes and attacks. When it comes to Khan Yunis city, the current situation is still dreadful as the Israeli warplanes maintained carrying out several airstrikes against the western part of the city, particularly the surrounding areas of the Nasser Medical Complex and the Al Amal Hospital. Those areas have been subjected to heavy bombardments and attacks for the last 3 consecutive days after the Israeli occupation forces reiterated their ground offensive against that area. Needless to mention that the vast majority of the buildings there were completely destroyed over the ceaseless and the incessant Israeli attacks and airstrikes. Even in the eastern parts of Khan Yunis city, particularly Al-Karara neighborhood, it was subjected to heavy attacks of the Israeli artillery over the last night. When it comes to the central area of Gaza Strip, the Israeli occupation forces also committed another appalling massacre against the Palestinian civilians, particularly in Al-Maghazi refugee camp. In Gaza City, the current situation is still over catastrophic as the Israeli occupation forces are still attacking the Ashifa Square and the surrounding areas for the successive 12th consecutive day with more airstrikes, more shelling and more gunfire towards the residential buildings there.
President of the international medical charity Doctors Without Borders says there has been no change on the ground in Gaza despite a recent UN Security Council resolution calling for an immediate ceasefire and flow of aid.
We haven't seen any change after this resolution on the ground. We haven't seen any impact in the people's lives there every day. We haven't seen any impact in our ways of delivering the humanitarian aid. The situation remains the same, and our asks remain the same. And these are the sustained, immediate ceasefire. We want to stop being attacked in our medical facilities. We want to stop being attacked with our medical staff. We have to protect the people that they provide the medical health care in the Gazan population. And we would like to have an unhindered humanitarian aid delivery in Gaza at this moment, which is not the case at all. We try also to meet primary health needs of the population. And I will give you an example that really shocked the international community when they saw that pregnant women, that they have to undergo a cesarean section, they had to be literally kicked out of the hospital after a couple of hours because there were no beds. Now MSF has increased the capacity of beds in order to offer at least some quality of care to these women.
Limited access to clean water amid unrelenting Israeli bombardment poses a very serious risk to Gazans throughout the besieged territory. Some displaced Palestinians explain the suffering and how they are struggling with access to drinkable water.
There is no fresh water in the school that shelters refugees. That's why we come here to fill water. It comes only half an hour a day. Water in the school is undrinkable. It's salty. What can we do? We have to walk 1 kilometer to get water.
People are suffering because of lack of water, considering it's salty too. We fill water in gallons instead of water tanks. It is really a suffering when it comes to obtaining fresh water. We have to queue for everything. We walk for an hour in total. Sometimes we return empty-handed without water.
We are in the month of Ramadan and we are struggling to get water to our homes. It is difficult and we are suffering from a great deal of hardship. We don't even have food to give us the energy to go collect the water, let alone the innocent children, women, and the elderly.
Our problem with water has been a serious problem since the war began. Not just today, we are suffering a lot from water because all pipes and pumps stopped working since the beginning of the war.
Iranians have once again taken to the streets throughout the country, calling for an end to Israeli genocide in the besieged Gaza Strip. In the city of Mashhad, protesters chanted anti-U.S. and anti-Israel slogans while reiterating their full support for Palestinians. People also poured into the streets of the city of Isfahan to demand an end to Israeli occupation of Palestine. They also censured the U.S. and Britain for their support for the Israeli regime. And while calling the attacks on Gaza's Al-Shifa Hospital a war crime, the protesters expressed resentment over the silence of the international community over Israeli atrocities. People around the world continue hitting the streets to vent their anger at Israel's campaign of genocide in Gaza. However, the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu on Wednesday vowed to go ahead with his military campaign, saying the international pressure on his regime will not work. Iran's foreign ministry spokesperson has condemned the latest deadly airstrikes by the Israelis on Syria's northwestern province of Aleppo. Nasser Kanani deplored the attacks as flagrant violation of international law and Syrian sovereignty. He urged the international community to take preventive measures against such atrocities. He added Israeli airstrikes that coincided with a drone attack by terrorists revealed the regime's nexus and support for terror groups operating in Syria. The statement came hours after Israeli warplanes targeted multiple locations in Aleppo. The Syrian military also reported a simultaneous drone strike, which was launched by terrorists out of Idlib. Now, Syria says the pre-dawn Israeli attacks left a number of civilians and military personnel dead and injured. Damascus has time and again complained to the UN over Israeli assaults, urging the world body to take action against such violations. Ibrahim Wati, our correspondent in Damascus, joined us earlier with more details on latest Israeli attacks on Syria's Aleppo.
According to the Syrian Ministry of Defense, at 1:45 a.m., the Israeli enemy launched an air attack from the direction of Etiria, southeast of Aleppo, targeting several points in Aleppo countryside in conjunction with a drone attack carried out by the terrorist organization in Idlib and Aleppo western countryside in an attempt to target civilian areas in Aleppo city and its surrounding. The aggression resulted in martyrdom and injury of several civilians and soldiers and material losses to public and private property. That was the statement of Minister of Defense. Now in details, two pairs of Israeli warplanes used the Jordanian airspace to infiltrate the Syrian airspace through or over the illegal U.S. base in Al-Tanf. They infiltrated the Syrian space, airspace to towards the depth of the Syrian desert to before Etiria. They launched two waves of missiles targeting two sites in the west and the eastern countryside of Aleppo and one site in the western countryside of Aleppo. The aggression targeted ammunition warehouses and gas station in Jibrin and Al-Sfiri area, west of, east of Aleppo countryside, next to the Aleppo International Airport. Now, Aleppo International Airport has not been targeted. It's intact, but the aggression resulted in massive destruction in buildings and private and public properties. The aggression is considered to be the first so far on Aleppo governorate and has resulted in more than 30 martyrs and 18 wounded. Firefighting teams have managed to control the fire erupted by the aggression, while civil defense teams are still searching for survivors so far. The explosions kept going for about 2 to 3 hours due to the interception of the Syrian air defenses to the attack, the Israeli attack, and also as well the drone attack, the massive drone attack launched by the terrorists in Idlib and Aleppo Western countryside.
Lebanon's Hezbollah resistance movement and Israeli forces have once again hit each other's positions amid growing tensions over the war on the Gaza Strip. The Israeli military has targeted a vehicle in the city of Tyre with a drone, leaving one Lebanese dead. Hezbollah has also carried out retaliatory missile strikes on Israeli positions in the occupied territories. Our Beirut correspondent, Mariam Saleh, joined us earlier with your details.
Well, the latest I was a vehicle in the town of Azuri, which is in the area of Tyre in South Lebanon. It's clear that it was an assassination. However, we do not know whether the main figure that was assassinated was a Lebanese member of the Lebanese resistance or the Palestinian resistance. That comes as part of the wave the routine assassinations that the Israelis have been launching against Lebanon. Hezbollah has responded also, or as part even of their routine operations against target in the Shabaab farms, in against the barracks of Zibdin specifically. The first time they targeted it with the guided missiles, the second time it was with a Falak rocket. But the most significant development, which is linked to this confrontation, is that we saw yesterday Hezbollah used for the first time, Israeli media actually said that in the last 2 days, Hezbollah targeted the Israeli settlements using heavy rockets like Falak, like Burkan, for example, also. And that was the first time, as Israeli media is saying, instead of using Katyusha rockets, they are using more heavier rockets that would lead to more destruction in the settlements, not only against military targets. The Israelis said they had lost patience, but the night before, of course, they had already committed two massacres in Al-Naqoura and other areas. And before that, we had the massacre of the medical personnel, medical facility in Hibeti, also in South Lebanon. And so it seems that there is this ping pong actions and military reactions from Hezbollah as well, who said that they will not also tolerate these continuous attacks against the medical personnel and launch these heavy rockets against the settlements as well. And we saw that there was images coming out from the settlements, how we had huge destruction and a lot of areas which even led to the killing of settlers and not only military personnel.
Pakistan has hosted a conference on freedom of Palestine in the capital, Islamabad, in solidarity with oppressed Palestinians in Gaza. The participants have called on international organizations to bring about immediate humanitarian ceasefire in the besieged territory. Nasser Kazmi has more.
In a fervent display of solidarity with the oppressed people of Gaza, a high-profile event dubbed Palestine Freedom Conference was convened in the capital, Islamabad. Political leaders, scholars, and representatives from various advocacy institutions gathered at the conference to condemn the ongoing Israeli atrocities in Gaza and to advocate for the rights of Palestinians.
The United Nations role is getting more and more important, but we see that the United Nations is going on the agenda of Israel and the agenda of America. They are not doing their good efforts to stop this war. Besides stopping the war, they are provoking the war. They are supporting the war. United Nations should take important steps to stop this war.
The event was aimed at amplifying voices against the relentless Israeli attacks on unarmed civilians in Gaza. Scholars and experts also slammed global powers for their role in perpetuating the ongoing genocide and supporting the Israeli regime.
We are not expecting much from the United Nations. More than 3,000 innocent men, women, and children have been killed. But the UN has no courage to stop Israel from doing these inhuman acts in Gaza. Muslim leaders have taken no effective step for a ceasefire in the besieged territory. They should feel shame for their silence on this massacre.
The gathering denounced Israel's military aggression against Gaza and emphasized the importance of upholding the international humanitarian law.
There is a joint venture of Western powers, NATO and our other allies. They are supporting Israel. They are part of this all aggression and inhuman acts of Israel. That is the reason. Unfortunately, the Muslim world and the leaders of the Muslim world, they are unable to do some solid work to relieve the pain and the sufferings of Palestinians.
The conference underscored the urgent need for international intervention to halt what it described as the bloodshed in Gaza. It also called for practical and immediate steps to alleviate the sufferings of the war-stricken Palestinians.
Participants in the Palestine Freedom Conference pledged to continue their efforts for the people in the Gaza Strip. They vowed to mobilize the support for the implementation of the UN resolution that called for an immediate ceasefire in the territory. Nasser Kazmi, Islamabad.
And that's a wrap for your latest, everyone. Thank you for tuning in, and goodbye for now.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. This is the Heart of Life Pounding. IRIB English Radio.
Contrary to Washington's claims, America's
President Raisi has emphasized that
U.S. sanctions have failed to extract concessions from Tehran.
Iran Today.
Arash, located in the north of the Persian Gulf in Bushehr province, is a gas and oil field jointly owned by Iran and Kuwait. Over the past 60 years, both countries have acknowledged each other's rights to a share of the significant resources in the field. Surprisingly enough, the Supreme Council of the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council has recently issued a statement claiming that only Kuwait and Saudi Arabia have sovereign rights over the field, raising Tehran ire. The Islamic Republic of Iran has reiterated that it cannot stand any violation of its national sovereignty and territorial integrity. It's just another tension underway in West Asia. What's the significance of Arash gas and oil field? What is Kuwait's position? What is Tehran's position? Why is Saudi Arabia engaged in this dispute out of the blue? Has there been any attempt to reach a deal? And if yes, why hasn't it borne any fruit? These and more on this edition of Iran Today. The offshore field known as Arash in Iran and Doreh in Kuwait has long been a source of contention between these two countries, grabbing headlines from time to time. فرزین سوادکوهی است an energy journalist based in Tehran.
به نظر اومد که میدان مهمی میتونه باشه به لحاظ اقتصادی برای ما.
The Arash field with its significant potential benefits for Iran, Kuwait and Saudi Arabia has yet to be developed due to various factors. Following the Islamic Revolution's victory, Iran attempted to initiate the development process. However, unforeseen circumstances continually halted progress. One of the primary obstacles was the ongoing disagreement regarding the field's ownership, which further complicated the project's advancement.
The Iranian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has given a protest note to Kuwait's ambassador to Tehran over the country's one-sided statements on the Arash natural gas field, which Iran shares with its southwestern neighbor. Mohammad Ali Beik, an assistant to Iran's foreign minister and the head of the ministry's Persian Gulf Department, said, "Making one-sided claims in various statements and through media undoubtedly cannot be a step forward to resolve the issue and will not establish any rights for the party uttering such assertions." We also talked to Mohammad Sadegh Mehju, a senior energy expert. Mr. Mehju had more to say about the history of Arash and the dispute around it.
What is the Kuwaiti-Iranian dispute over the Arash gas field?
The Arash field was initially discovered in 1967 as an exploration block designated for petroleum exploration. Arash, a joint exploration block, is situated close to the Esfandiar field, which is shared among Iran, Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia. It lies approximately 10 kilometers away from the Abu Zar and Surush fields. The ongoing dispute revolves around border claims. Using the 1982 Law of the Sea Convention, LOSC, in its argument, Kuwait asserts full ownership of the field. Conversely, we contend that a border was established prior to the Islamic Revolution, entitling us to at least 30% of the field. However, Kuwait disagrees and continues to make statements opposing our claim.
Tehran has frequently proclaimed that a cooperative and respectful environment, rather than one-sided assertions, could lead to an agreement on the matter. Otherwise, the region has to prepare itself for yet another unnecessary tension.
What is Iran's position?
I believe that Tehran has taken a rational approach so far. The Iranian Ministry of Foreign Affairs has maintained an open door to diplomacy. Tehran has consistently advocated for negotiations to achieve a peaceful resolution that benefits both parties.
The dispute over Arash dates back to the 1960s when Iran and Kuwait were granted overlapping offshore concessions for the field, which has been called a treasure under the sea.
Mr. Hamid Reza Salehi is the Director General of Federation of Iranian Energy Export Industries.
As you know, Iran has numerous shared fields with neighboring countries in the region. The largest joint field is with Qatar, known as South Pars, which significantly contributes to the country's gas production. There are several oil and gas fields that are shared with our neighboring countries. Among these fields is Arash, which has been a subject of dispute. As a member of the private sector, we would like to invest in the field for future generations, albeit in a peaceful cooperation with the rest of the region.
Iran assigned rights to the Anglo-Iranian oil company, while Kuwait gave its share to Royal Dutch Shell, leading to overlapping claims in the northern part of the reservoir. The two concessions overlap in the northern part of the field. According to Reuters, the Arash field reserves are estimated at 1 trillion cubic feet of natural gas, of which 200 billion cubic feet are likely to be extracted immediately, in addition to over 310 million barrels of oil. These figures are of significant importance to the Kuwaiti side, as considering Kuwait's natural gas reserves, which do not exceed 35 trillion cubic meters, the hydrocarbon value of the field could increase Kuwait's reserves by 30%. Mr. Hamid Hosseini is a senior energy expert and chief executive of the monthly Dunyaye Enerji, or the World of Energy. What is the significance of the Arash field?
The Arash field holds approximately 570 billion cubic meters of gas and contains nearly 310 million barrels of oil, making it a valuable resource for countries like Kuwait and Saudi Arabia, which have few, if any, gas fields. The Arash field holds even greater significance, as they rely on gas imports for their domestic needs, refineries, and other purposes. They have a vested interest in accessing the Arash field's resources as soon as possible. That is while Iran is not in a rush, as it has an abundance of gas fields within its territory.
As for Iran, nearly 40% of Arash field is located in Iranian waters. In 2001, the National Iranian Oil Company drilled an exploratory well to determine the amounts of its reserves. Kuwait then threatened to take the issue to international arbitration, and following the Kuwaiti emir's visit to Tehran during the Khatami administration, Tehran stopped exploration and removed the platform built at the site. Mr. Hosseini added that for Iran, having good relationships with neighbors is very important, and the country is not happy to escalate tensions in the region for energy.
Iran was the first country in the region to drill the first oil well. Iran was also the pioneer in conducting marine explorations to discover oil and gas fields in the region. The Arash oil field was founded in the 1960s by a Japanese company working under the commission of the National Iranian Oil Company. Prior to the Islamic Revolution, Iran had discovered the field and chosen the name Arash for it. Today, Iran shares nearly 30 joint oil and gas fields with countries like Qatar, the United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, and Iraq. The Arash field is just one example. The South Pars gas field, the largest in the world, is shared with Qatar, and despite its significant size, representing over 15% of the world's gas reserves, Iran has accepted Qatar's two-thirds ownership. This demonstrates Iran's honesty and commitment to maintaining good relations with its neighbors. In fact, maintaining positive relationships with neighboring countries has always been a priority for Iran.
Iran's drilling and then its decision to halt it, in fact, came a year after Saudi Arabia and Kuwait had jointly started exploration and development activities on the field without Tehran's knowledge. In 2016, Iranian media reported that Saudi Arabia and Kuwait had formed the Al-Khafji joint operations to develop the field on a 50-50 joint venture without any right for Iran.
I believe that fostering better political interactions among the involved nations could have allowed all parties to reap the benefits of the Arash field more effectively. The strained relationship between Iran and Saudi Arabia negatively impacted the project's progress, ultimately leading to a partnership between Kuwait and Saudi Arabia that excluded the Islamic Republic of Iran. Improved diplomatic relations among the three countries might facilitate a more inclusive and mutually beneficial approach to the development of the Arash field.
The Islamic Republic has strongly objected to the agreement, with officials saying the move is illegal, as the boundaries of the field shared between the three countries have not yet been established. Tehran has repeatedly called for a border demarcation agreement to determine its right to exploit part of the field.
The Arash field situation could pose a challenge to Iran's national integrity, and it necessitates a proactive and efficient collaboration among the involved countries. Establishing clear boundaries and fostering open communication can help mitigate such disputes. By working together and defining their respective territories, the involved parties can find a resolution that benefits all.
In March 2022, Saudi Arabia, with its Kuwaiti counterpart, to develop the Arash Dora gas field to produce 1 billion standard cubic feet per day of gas and 84,000 barrels per day of condensates. Iran's Minister of Petroleum, Javad Oji, was quick to respond to his Saudi counterpart's announcement then, saying Tehran would soon begin drilling at the Arash field. Although we want to negotiate and cooperate for development of joint fields, unilateral measures will not prevent the implementation of the project, he said, after Kuwait and Saudi Arabia signed a document to build the offshore reservoir without Tehran's participation.
From March 2023 onwards, the debate over the Arash field has been under intense scrutiny. A joint committee comprising the Ministry of Foreign Affairs, the Geography Organization of the Armed Forces, and the Ministry of Oil has been assigned to analyze various aspects of the issue. They have made a number of decisions so far. The Ministry of Oil has explicitly stated its readiness for any potential outcomes. In a sense, Iran is ready to deliver a suitable response in the upcoming period if the opposing party insists on their current position.
There's plenty more to be said, but first a quick media review to give other outlets a chance to get a word in.
Hello everyone, welcome to the news section of this program. Here, we'll go over some important news headlines. Iran says a unilateral claim to Arash gas field will create no rights for claimants. Iran has repeatedly announced its principled stance on the issue based on international law, underlined Iran's foreign ministry spokesman, Nasser Kanani. Shana writes, the spokesman made the remarks during his weekly press conference in reaction to a statement issued by the Ministerial Council of the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council, which claims only Saudi Arabia and Kuwait have the rights to exploit the field known as Al Dora in the two Arab states. We have emphasized the continuation of technical and legal talks with Kuwait officials, he pointed out. Unilateral claim on Arash gas field creates no rights for claimant, Iran says. Tehran Times writes, Iran has repeatedly announced its principled stance on the issue based on international law. The country tries to create a positive and constructive atmosphere to develop its relations with neighbors, refuting such issues in one-sided statements as not acceptable. Iran issues fresh warning against Kuwait over Arash gas field row. Iran says it believes in integrated and joint extraction with Kuwait and Saudi Arabia from the disputed Arash gas field in the Persian Gulf, warning Tehran will start drilling in the field if Kuwait does so. Iran News Daily writes, the Iranian Vice President for Legal Affairs, Mohammad Dehghan, reiterated on Thursday that the ownership dispute should be resolved through dialogue. Arash is an oil and gas field, and part of it belongs to us. We do not have a maritime border with Kuwait, but we discovered the field and drilled rigs there many years ago without taking advantage of it. So we won't create tensions with our neighbors, Dehghan clarified. The Arash gas field dispute, a thorny issue in Persian Gulf politics. RUVM Press writes, the Arash oil gas field serves as a poignant symbol of the intricate geopolitical dance unfolding among Iran, Kuwait, and Saudi Arabia. Over time, what began as a cooperative effort has degenerated into a contentious focal point, sparking debates surrounding resource distribution and territorial delineation. Nestled within this shared expanse lies the Arash gas field, boasting a substantial storage capacity of 1 trillion cubic feet alongside an estimated 42 million barrels of crude oil. Thank you for joining us in this section. I invite you to go back to the main narrative.
In last August, Tehran officially invited Kuwaiti Foreign Minister Salem Abdullah Al-Jaber Al-Sabah to de-escalate tensions.
It is important to highlight our strong connections with Kuwait. For instance, Iranians have had a significant presence in Kuwait for over a century. The people of both nations have enjoyed meaningful interactions over the years. Additionally, there have been numerous joint investments in both Iran and Kuwait. With the rest improvement in relations between Tehran and Riyadh, we aim to achieve a similar level of collaborative investment with Saudi Arabia. I believe that promoting cooperation rather than competition is the best way towards a brighter future.
However, the Supreme Council of the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council torpedoed de-escalation efforts at the end of its 44th summit in Doha, Qatar, claiming that the entirety of the Arash gas field lied within Kuwait's maritime territories. The council also said the ownership of natural resources in the submerged area adjacent to the Saudi-Kuwaiti divided area, including the entire gas field, is exclusively a joint ownership between Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. According to the statement, both have exclusive rights to exploit the natural resources in that area, adding, the council firmly rejected any claims of rights by any other party in this field or the submerged area adjacent to the demarcated area between Saudi Arabia and Kuwait.
Has there been any attempts to reach a deal?
As far as I know, the Kuwaitis and Saudis have been insisting on their position. At the same time, delegations from Iran and Kuwait have been engaging in back-and-forth discussions, yet so far, no substantial agreement has been reached. I hope that both Kuwaitis and Saudis refrain from adopting more controversial positions to prevent escalating tensions among these three neighboring nations. I believe that direct negotiations would be beneficial.
The council statement came after both Saudi Arabia and Kuwait announced in July that there was no room for negotiations with Iran regarding the Arash Dora gas field in the Persian Gulf. That's while historical records of the past 60 years show no Saudi role in negotiations between Iran and Kuwait to determine the maritime borders around the Arash field and how to exploit its resources, meaning Riyadh's push to stake out a share has started only since 2000. In reaction to the statement issued by the Supreme Council of the Persian Gulf Cooperation Council, National Iranian Oil Company head Mohsen Khojasemir announced that Iran was ready to begin drilling in the Arash field. He said once the necessary conditions are met, drilling operations in the Arash field will begin.
Currently, we have 26 joint fields. What if we embark on a joint venture with Saudi and Kuwait companies? They can help us with our own fields, not just the joint ones. The private sector in Iran is open to foreign investment to enhance gas extraction from our own fields. With their support, we can convert gas into LNG and export it with added value. There is significant potential for collaboration in this aspect. If we manage the situation in Arash peacefully, we can consider expanding our cooperation further. After all, we have many projects in Iran worth hundreds of billions of dollars that our neighbors can take part as investors.
For years, Iran and Kuwait have held talks over their disputed maritime border area, practically with no success. Why has the dispute remained unresolved?
There are two approaches to addressing the Arash field ownership issue. According to Iran's proposed method, it should be considered a joint field for shared use among the involved countries. However, the Kuwaitis advocate for a second approach, which would result in the field being predominantly under their ownership. Unfortunately, there is no universally accepted method to resolve this dispute. I would like to draw your attention to this point. Politicizing the case could lead to negative consequences for all parties involved. We have witnessed the politicization of Iran's share in the Caspian Sea, which has turned the issue into a complex and challenging situation for everyone. To prevent a similar destiny for the Arash field, I would like to ask the Kuwaiti authorities to refrain from politicizing the matter.
Attempts to revive negotiations have failed. Kuwait's oil minister, Saad al-Barak, was quoted on July 27 as saying his country would begin drilling and production at the Arash gas field without waiting for a demarcation deal with Iran. This prompted Iran's oil minister to counter, saying Tehran may pursue work at the field without an agreement. Javad Oji said, Iran will pursue its rights and interests regarding exploitation and exploration of the field if there is no desire for understanding and cooperation.
Is there any peaceful solutions to the dispute?
A potential solution to this dispute could involve finding an impartial mediator to facilitate negotiations between Iran and Kuwait. OPEC, with its Secretary General being from Kuwait, might not be the most suitable choice due to potential conflicts of interest. Alternative options for mediation could include the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, or the OIC, as they have experience in resolving international disputes. Another possibility is enlisting the help of influential individuals from both countries who could act as intermediaries. Another approach could be to assign a third party to develop the Arash field and distribute the profits fairly between Iran and Kuwait. This way, both sides can avoid the direct involvement in the development project, so it could reduce tensions and foster a more cooperative atmosphere between the two nations.
The dispute between Iran and Kuwait over the Arash gas field is a complex and long-standing issue that has yet to be resolved. The competing claims, historical context, and strategic importance of the field make it a challenging matter for both countries to navigate. But the dispute for Iran is more than a row about an energy reserve. Iran shares 28 oil and gas fields with its neighbors, which constitutes the country's 20% of oil and 30% of gas reserves. And Arash is just one of them. What is at stake in the first place is the territorial integrity of the Islamic Republic. Tehran knows that a step backward might send wrong signals to the intruders. In a similar case like that of Arash, the United Arab Emirates has been laying claims of sovereignty on Iran's three islands of Greater Tomb, Lesser Tomb, and Abu Musa, which are located in the Persian Gulf. These three islands are of strategic importance due to their location in the Persian Gulf and their proximity to important shipping lanes. Despite all historical and legal documents that show they belong to Iran, Abu Dhabi still has claims over them. Iran will never give in to such baseless claims over its territory. Such claims will just lead to more tensions in the region already known for its volatility.
It is essential to maintain diplomatic language when discussing the Arash field ownership issue. Claiming that Iran has no share in the field is neither accurate nor politically correct. Historically, Iran discovered the Arash field in 1967, but chose not to unilaterally exploit it, recognizing it as a joint field. This decision demonstrates Iran's commitment to respecting the rights of other nations. When the field was discovered, Iran was the dominant power in the Persian Gulf, and it had the capability to seize control of the field as well as other fields without facing any serious objection, but the country never did that.
Over the past year, Iran has been dealing with the dispute over Arash with deference for the sake of a successful rapprochement deal with Riyadh. But any aggressive push by Kuwait and Saudi Arabia is not going to be tolerated for long in Tehran.
That's all for today. Thank you from the whole team. Till next time, take care.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Mahdi.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Rabbil Alameen. May Allah's peace and blessing be upon the Holy Messenger, Prophet Muhammad, and his pure progeny, sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam. We have been almost starting to get into the final days or descending bent of the month of Ramadan. These nights are very important nights, the night of destiny, the night of power, however you want to translate Laylatul Qadr. It's a night that we need to recognize the value of this night, our destiny and decree. Our year to come will be destined and programmed throughout these very little tiny moments or quick moments of these nights. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us the chance and tawfiq to successfully, inshallah, implement the teachings of Rasulullah and Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam into action, and inshallah make benefit of this very important night. The 12th dua of Sahifa Sajjadiya, the book of Imam Zainul Abidin, his legacy, and the title of this 12th dua is Fil i'tiraf wa talab at-tawbah ila Allah Ta'ala, in confession and in seeking repentance toward Allah. We got to the part that Imam Sajjad alayhi salam is calling upon Allah with the most beautiful phrases or in the most beautiful ways. Ya a'tafa man atafa bihil mustaghfirun. O tenderest, O the most flexible of those around whom run seekers of forgiveness. That tawaf is what you do around Kaaba. Is that action that you run around or you walk around the Kaaba, the house of God. And then says, look at it as the Lord that accepts your forgiveness, and the forgiveness seekers go around that Lord, or walk around or do tawaf of around that Lord. Let's take a break and inshallah come back.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifa As-Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana.
Respected listeners, inshallah, you keep us in your du'as on this very important night, this very special night. The phrase that comes after is وَيَوْمَنَ عَفْوُهُ أَكْثَرُ مِنْ نِقْمَتِهِ. Oh, he whose pardon, whose forgiveness, whose عَفْوُ is greater, is more than his vengeance, than his punishment, than his wrath. Why? Look at the Holy Quran, Surah Al-An'am, the sixth surah of the Holy Quran, the sixth chapter of the Holy Quran, verse number 12. قُلْ لِمَنْ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ. Say, to whom belongs whatever in the heavens and the earth? Say, Allah, or to Allah. قُلْ لِلَّهِ. And then, in this part of the Holy Quran, one of the most hope-creating, hope-bringing, one of the positive vibes that you just need in this night to ignite your heart for breaking yourself in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in confession and in humbleness, and to go back to Him, to return to Him. And this this part of this verse is really bringing tears into eyes of those who are ready to make their journey to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again, to restart, to reestablish their connection. And that is, كَتَبَ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ الرَّحْمَةِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed upon himself mercy or mercifulness. That is the basis. That is the default system. The default is the mercy of Allah. The default is not the wrath. His mercy overrides his wrath. Let's take a break to come back.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
All right, respected listeners to IRIB English Radio, we are together with the last portion of our session for the program Bridge, contemplating on the phrases of the book Sahifa Sajjadiyah by Imam Zain al-Abidin. Ya man afwuhu aktharu min niqmatih. Imam Sajjad says, oh, he whose pardon, whose forgiveness is greater than his mengeance. Wa ya man ridahu awfaru min sakhatih. Oh, he whose good pleasure is more abundant than his anger. This is Allah. If you want to know Allah, do not know Allah only by his punishments. See Allah through his moments, through the moments of your life that you witnessed, that was proven to you that Allah is so merciful. Remember those moments. Do not let yourself forget them. Thinking of the punishment of Allah, which exists, does not quiet or completely stop you from the wrong action. That's why when you look at the Holy Quran, the rahmah, the mercifulness of Allah is mentioned way over his other sifat and qualities that indicate his power and his anger. And then in here, Imam says, Ya man ridahu awfaru min sakhatih. These terms and phrases, oh, he whose good pleasure is more abundant than his anger, is what we exactly need on these nights of Qadr. To remember that if we come back to him, he's there waiting for us. He's there waiting to take our hands, to grab our hands and grant us the power to get back up. وَيَا مَنْ تَحْمَدُ إِلَىٰ خَلْقِهِ بِحُسْنَ التَّجَاوُزِ. Oh, he who seeks his creatures praise with excellent forbearance. This is the Allah that we do not know him truly. And if we know him right, then we will serve him, then we will obey him the right way. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Mahdi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را، هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. Thank you.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Death toll from Israeli genocide in Gaza exceeds 32,600 as the regime's indiscriminate strikes claim more Palestinian lives. Thousands of Iranians hold rallies across the country in solidarity with Palestinians in the Gaza Strip.